the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Well, hopefully, all of you who are here this morning know this is our last Sunday here. I hope that doesn't catch anyone by surprise, but you just never know. So if so, I apologize for that. But two things I wanted to do this morning, and the first is just to say a little bit of thanks to all of you who are here. And it's amazing to think back over 5 years and think of all the faces. Some of you I know from all the way back to 5 years, some of you more recently. But each of you, I can think about how you've opened up your life to me, how you've invited me into that, and how meaningful that's been. And something that I really appreciate as I think about, and there are people here actually not just from St. Peter's but in the larger community, is what a community it's been. Rachel and I, in our adult lives, this is the place that to us feels like this is our home and our community, because we've had more of that and stronger of that here than any other place that we've been. So I thank you to all of you who have been a part of that, of welcoming us, making us feel at home here, and investing your lives in us. And I know that that's a tricky thing, right? People come in and then people go, and yet you didn't hold back in that, and you gave of yourselves. Made it an easy place to be. I have heard in pastoral circles sometimes the congregations can make life difficult for their leadership, and I don't have any of those kind of stories as I go from here, and I'm really grateful for that. So you've been wonderful. It's been a pleasure to be here among you. And as I said in the Cross Keys this month, I really feel like I've gained so much during these years. The opening hymn was so appropriate, "Great is thy faithfulness," because as I look back over these years, I see God's hand of faithfulness. It's been just a wonderful time. So thank you. And I wanted to also say just a couple of words going forward. You know, Andy is going to be coming in about a month, and his wife Teresa and his kids, and you all have much reason to be excited about that. He's a wonderful man. I think his family's great. We've had a chance to get to know him. Hopefully some of you have too, but you'll be meeting him soon, and I think you'll really appreciate everything that he brings. And I wanted to remind you that though leaders come and go, and you know this, God's in it for the long haul. So God has been invested in St. Peter's from the beginning, continues to be so, and will continue to do to be invested long after I suspect that most of us are gone. So the readings remind us that, you know, what it's about, what we need to focus on, what we need to concern ourselves with, is that we love each other in the body, in the fellowship, and how important that is. And I think as we do that, as we really commit to loving each other as Christ loved us, then the other things kind of take care of themselves. So be encouraged, be excited about what's ahead and what God is going to be bringing into this place, and thank you again. Okay, so second thing then. I wanted to leave you with an encouragement. And as I thought about this Sunday, which I've been thinking about for a long time now, I thought, what is it that I want to talk about? Because it's kind of my last chance to say something that's on my heart. And what I thought about was a passage that's very dear to me from Paul in Philippians. And so it's not one of the readings that we have this morning, as wonderful as those are. So I hope you excuse me for veering from that. But I want to read you this passage and then just unpack it a little bit together with you. So first, just a note of background. Paul has been telling us about, or telling the church in Philippi, about sort of what his life used to be like and what he used to be all about. And he said, you know, I was someone who was completely absorbed in, driven by, all about the life of, religious life of the Pharisees. So he said, you know, I ticked off the boxes that were there, and I'd done this and I'd done that. And he said, even I was someone who persecuted the church. So I was so zealous for what I thought was the path to God that I was willing even to maybe kill people for it. So Paul said, that was me. I was about that. But Paul then tells us about a radical reorientation in his life. And so that's where we pick up here. He says this, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love this passage because here we see the passion of Paul, the heart of Paul, as he reveals to us this great reorientation of his perspective on life. He says, it's a radical thing. Before, I thought it was all about me gaining my own righteousness so that I might maybe get God's approval. And he said, then I understood it exactly the opposite way, that it's all about me receiving God's acceptance of me so that I might then gain Christ's righteousness. It's not about being righteous to earn fellowship with God, but it's about receiving fellowship with God so that I might then become in Christ righteous. And he said, this completely changed everything, because now what my focus on is in knowing Christ and being in him and sharing in even his sufferings, which Paul did. So that I might, it's about that fellowship. And you remember last week, the reading in John about the vine and the branches. And I suggested that that's the heart of the Christian life, is coming into fellowship with God through Christ. And that's what Paul's saying here. That became the thing that was going to be the orienting purpose of my life. And Paul is a driven person, which comes across in his letters in many places. So he said, once I saw this, hey, that's where life is, then he grabs a hold of it with both hands to live into it. And I think for us, this is really an invitation to look at our lives and to say, what do I think it's really all about? What, to use Paul's language, what is profit and what is loss? What is my life about? Recently, I saw a comic in The New Yorker. Rachel got me last year the complete comics of The New Yorker, so it's going. I had to finish reading them this last week so I could give the book away. And as I was going through there, there was this wonderful one. There's a man who is in a bed, kind of in a hospital, and you can see from the things in the room, there's cards, there's balloons, there's maybe some life support stuff. You get the picture, he's on his deathbed. And in the room with him is a younger person, maybe a child, and the caption in the cartoon says this. He says, I should have bought more junk. And thanks, Mike. And actually, he didn't say junk, but I'm trying to, Rachel would scold me if I said what he said. So I love this cartoon because it really grabs you of the absurdity of this, because you realize, no, on your deathbed, no one will say that. No. And you might think of some other things that would go through your body. Like, no one on their deathbed is going to say, I should have watched more television. Or, there are so many things in our life when we would look at it, we say, man, I'm investing in this and I'm investing in that, that from the point of view of the end, we will say, wow, that was a loss. Felt like profit at the time, but that was lost. I think of a book written by a hospice care nurse, and she was talking about what people say at the end and their regrets. And it was striking. She said the number one regret of men is, I've worked too much. So, and how interesting that is, because that, why do we work? For profit. And at the end of life, we look back on this and say, well, that was actually loss. And why? Because of what we've given up in trade for it. So Paul's putting before us this question, what is life really about? What are we doing with it? What is profit and what is loss? And if we ask ourselves the question, well, what does Jesus say to us? What perspective does he enjoin us to take? We see over and over again something that resonates with what Paul says. And Jesus says, in a striking phrase, he says, whoever is going to keep their life is going to lose it. In other words, whoever like clings to this, you know, my stuff, my boundaries, my time, he said, that's a recipe for losing your life and it slips through your fingers. He says, but whoever is going to lose their life for my sake and the gospel is going to find it. Whoever, in other words, throws all the doors open to God and says, God, this is your life, this is your time, this is your stuff, will you direct my paths? That's the way to find life. In so many other ways, he puts a similar point. He says, I am the living bread. I am the true water. If you follow me, you're going to be building on the rock instead of on the sand. For I am the way and the truth and the life. So Jesus says, here's the deal, folks. If you want to know what life is really about, what is gain, it's in me. Same thing that Paul says. And so I wonder, I ask myself, I ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Have you seen that? Have you grabbed a hold of it? And you know, Paul elsewhere, he likes these metaphors of athletics. And he says, have you ever noticed people who are training for the games? So these are, you know, just like in our day, people are training for the games. He says they're really going after it. And they go into strict discipline in order to gain the crown. And I think about in my own family, I've got a, so I have a cousin in that cousin's child, whatever those are called. We've got one of those. And that boy, he's like 12 or something, and he's on a path to be an Olympic swimmer. So he's already somehow been kind of identified with this, and he goes to Olympic training centers. And to hear about the family, like, it revolves around this activity. So he swims every day, I suppose his diet and his sleep, all these things are geared toward. It's very competitive. And Paul says, and isn't this interesting that we do this? And maybe at some point in your life you've done that, kind of dove in with both feet in training. He says, and why? To get a crown, which that's nice. He says, but it doesn't last. He says, but think about what God is offering up to us in Christ Jesus, the crown that lasts forever, the real thing, the prize, as Paul puts it here. Now, do we go after that? Do we go after that with the same intentionality, with the same intensity, as we might go after something that's just kind of here today and gone tomorrow? I'll say, think about what you're doing. Think about your life. Don't wait until you're lying in your bed at the end of it and say, boy, that was profit at the time, and now I see it as loss. Go after it with both hands, the thing that God has put before you. And Paul goes on to say this. He says, okay, that's the goal. That's the target. But the reality of daily life is, here I am, I haven't obtained all this yet. I'm not there. I'm not made perfect. I'm not in presence of God. But I press on. So I recognize it's a difficult thing, and it's a thing that I have to walk out day by day. And Paul says three particular things here, which I think are a useful word to us. He says, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. In other words, there's often stuff behind in our lives, things that we've messed up, opportunities that we've missed. We may already be filled with the kind of regret and say, man, why did I give so much of my time to fill in the blank? But Paul says, that's not going to do us any good. And the reality is that we always have hope from this day forward in Christ. And this is great, because for the Olympics, you know, I look around this room, probably not many of us are going to be competing in the Olympics. Like, that opportunity is gone. It doesn't matter if you say, oh, I wish I had gone, right? We're not going to do it. And yet, the truth that is held out to us in the gospel is the opportunity of the life with God is never gone. Whether we have 5 days left in our life, or 5 years, or 50 years, the time is open now to grab hold of that and say, let me grab hold of that thing that really matters, and that opportunity is never lost. So forget what is behind, because it's irrelevant. Anything God can do with your life from this point forward, if you're willing to let him. And Paul himself is such an example, because he was a persecutor. He was a murderer. He was self-righteous. He was just nasty. And he said, but nevertheless, look what God has done with me. So that's the first. Forget what is behind, and then strain toward what is ahead. And you can't help but here think again about the race that Paul likes. And you know how runners, when they're coming to the finish line, they're stretching out like this to try and get, I guess you have to get your chest over the line first. I don't know why they do that, but they do. And that image of straining toward the finish line, of having firmly in your mind, what is that thing ahead that I'm pushing for? And you know, when Paul talks about that prize that's held out to us, what is that? That is the presence of God. That is friendship with God. That's fellowship with God. That's the prize. And he says, because I have my eyes set on that, I'm straining toward it. And in Hebrews, the author there says, imagine being surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Because he's just talked about all the people who have come before, who have run that race out. And for us, of course, Paul's one of them. He's, you know, up there in the stands somewhere. And he's amongst that crowd that's saying, go for it. You know, keep pressing. Keep running. Keep your eyes on the prize, because it is so worth it. So that's the second thing, straining toward what is ahead. And then finally, the very humdrum, practical, press on. And what that means for us is just a day in and day out intention and commitment to say, you know, tomorrow morning I may not feel it. I may not have within me a lot of excitement about that prize. Sometimes I can see that. But I realize that that's what life is about. And so I'm just going to continue to walk in it and do the things that God has called me to. So I want to say something to close, similar to what I said to the kids a few minutes ago. I don't know when I will see you next. Well, I mean, besides in Fellowship Hall, but further on when we go from there, I don't know. We don't know what the future holds for us. But I hope that when I hear of you and when you hear of me, we will find each other pressing on. And I know that someday we'll be across the finish line, and I look forward to meeting you there. So will you pray with me? Lord, we give you thanks for your call in Christ Jesus toward the prize and toward the goal of fellowship with you. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us clarity, a vision to see what life is really all about, and intentionality of will to grab a hold of it, and that, Lord, you would give us perseverance in each day to walk out that path on which you have placed us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.